Okay, I want to go and finish that influence up, because that is huge. And so I'm just going to move right through it and pick back up on it there. On right there, Romans number 6, right above there, letter A. David and Elijah gained influence by allowing their followers to know them. Jesus let the disciples, the apostles, know him. Okay? And then trust him. It's difficult to trust someone you don't know. And a lot of times we don't let people know us because we put walls up around us because of things of the past that we have suppressed in our lives, or, you know, different things. I'm just being real, guys, keeping it. I've done this, and I'm just saying, so someone really don't know me, and they're trying to know me, but I'm not allowing them to know me. And so now it brings questions of integrity up in their minds. And if they have a little, you know, just, I can't really trust. It's just something. I can't trust him. Something he's holding back. Something. And wives, is just, they're their sway sometimes. So they ask the question, I thought you said you was coming home at 4. What happened? And then our pride come up in us. Why are you asking me? Well, you don't trust me. I'm not doing anything. No, you're not. But you're just not being transparent, genuine, real, because of the walls that's up. Everybody's okay? So what happens is that great leaders, people with influence, they are trusted. It's important to be trusted, and Jesus could be trusted. They trust Jesus. Even today, you don't hear people say bad things about Jesus that don't even believe he's God. You know, because he walked with integrity. He carried himself in such a way, and he was very, very transparent. And that's something it's difficult for us to do, especially as men. Women are more easier with being transparent. Now, Sal's going to move through this, but it's so much thought to a thought. It's difficult to do that. But we have to allow our followers to know us so they can trust us and in return respect us. That's why that's know, trust, and respect them. See, so David and Elijah, remember all those that ran to David in that cave, they came to David? They knew David. They could trust David. They respected David. You see what I'm saying? And so, and here's the thing. King Saul lost his influence. People was around him because they had to. They was doing their duty. You follow? It's a difference between duty and desire. But many of us, sometimes we can find ourselves not even in duty, but in denial of who and what we really are, which is true humility. You follow? Because of the past. That's really not the past, it's the present. If it was past, then the walls wouldn't be up. Right. Just a thought. Now, God allows us to know him so we can trust him, so we can fear him, respect him, reverence him. And the more we get to know God, not know of God. Remember I told you when I got ordained, I knew a lot about God. It's different than knowing about somebody, but when you're sitting at the dinner table and you're taking a walk together and you're spending time together, you get to know a person. It's not reading the statistics in the newspaper or ESPN statistics. That don't let us know some famous baseball player. We just know about them. You follow? And so a lot of times we can know about God. Now, where I'm going is this. For God to influence me, I have to know him. So I can trust him, then I respect him. Think on that. And many times people don't know him, so it's difficult for them to trust him with their lives, Christians. We just trust God, just trust God. But they don't know God well enough. They're not, watch it, in awe of him. Once we get to know God, we're like this. Wow. That's the fear of God. In awe of him. You follow? He's awesome. Then we can trust him more. Now, people have to know us so they can trust us. Then they will respect us. When that happens, then they will allow us to influence them. That's where I wanted to get to. Like, people allow us to add value to their lives. They allow us to influence them. That's very important. That's very key. Throwing up rules on the wall. Rules are good. Just throwing up rules and leading by rules and regulations and standard operating procedure don't allow people to know me. Okay? And so we just got to keep that in the proper perspective, have a balance with all that, the rules and relationship type thing. That's the continuing thought of that. Now, the same works for you and me, and I just said that. Let's jump down in Romans number 6. I want to get these five characteristics of leaders who have influence. I felt led, God impressed upon my heart to really go back and touch on this so you can get this. So these are the characteristics. Number one, letter A, if you would, they sacrificially love others. Sacrificially, that's that agape. Agape, that's that unconditional. They sacrificially, it's different when you sacrificially love someone. And there's different types of love. Phileo, I let your pastor come back and teach you guys about the different ones. And, you know, the brother Philadelphia love, the different love. I mean, affectionate love, you probably already know that. But this type of love, God so loved the world, he gave. And while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the sacrificial love, okay? And number one, it says, the willing sacrificial giving of might be missing on your paper. It's missing on mine. Of ourselves for their benefit. See, that's sacrificial. Jesus died for our benefit. God gave him up for our benefit. Watch it. For their benefit without thought or return. Amen. That's the key, Tim. What I'm doing is for you. Whether you receive it or not, it's for you. No thought of return means I'm not concerned about how you respond. Whether you thank me or not, you follow? When it's no thought of return, then I have no reason to get frustrated, irritated, which is the opposite of joy. Love, express love, experience joy. Going back to that, you remember that? See, when I express love, sacrificial love, a willing giving of myself, willingly, nobody making me do it, nobody made Jesus do what he did, a willing sacrificial giving of myself for another, for the benefit of another, without thought or return, no thought of return, that kind of love doesn't fail. When I'm expressing that kind of love, that's the fruit of the Spirit, love. Then I experience joy. Because no thought of return, if you get frustrated, if you don't, you know, it doesn't matter. It's for you. It doesn't matter if this person opposing themselves or not. You follow? 2 Timothy 2, 24, 25, 26, those opposing themselves. Okay? And that's, I want to lay that out there. Number two, it should not be for you. Your ministry or your church, but for them. I made a little note here. It's not on your paper, and I made it in red. Make a habit of building people, not ministry. I get around a little bit. And in our church, we have a lot of events. We're a pretty big church. Your pastor been there. We have many events, and I'm in the middle of everything that happens, pretty much. I'm there somewhere with influence or something. And I have to be very careful. that people are not looking out, looking for someone just to help with an event. You follow? But looking out, saying this event can help that person. This event can build that person. So it's a view, how you view things. And we have to be very careful, because we can try to build something off the backs of people. Okay? All right. So that's why that's there. Now, let it be. First, they have to sacrificially love others. Secondly, they have to sincerely listen. That's hard. When we get into prayer, we're going to really see how listening is important. And I have to learn how to first, y'all see me, listen vertically so that I can listen horizontally. So I need that sensitivity to God, sensitive to God, so I can be sensitive to my wife, to the children, to the church, to the workers in the ministry. You follow? That's important. And God sees that. Now, Jesus was and still is a good listener. Man, Jesus was a good listener. And he is one. And let us see. They systematically learn of others. See, I need to love you so I can listen to you. If I don't love you, I'm not going to really listen to you. See, if it's for your benefit, I need to listen so I know how to better benefit you. So I'm listening, why? To learn. Now, on John 10:14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Proverbs 27:23a. Be thou diligent to know the state of the flock, thy flocks. Letter D, I'm listening. Why am I listening? Here's the fourth thing about this characteristic. They selflessly liberate others. Liberate, what do you mean? Where the Spirit is, there's liberty. So when we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit, give way, become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, then we give people liberty. Amen. Jesus, come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden, heavy burden, or laboring, and I give you rest. He meant rest to your soul. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Jesus liberates people. And as leaders, with influence, what caused people to want to intentionally follow us is that they see that we give them liberty. And that's, liberty has something to do with one of the Baptist distinctives, but we won't get into the Baptist distinctives and different things of that nature, but that's part of being a Baptist, you know. But, and so one of the things that I teach and work with men, I usually work with the leaders, I usually train a leader, and then when a leader ready, I say, okay, this guy's ready to be the head usher, to be the bus captain, be whatever, and so work with them and do different things to kind of, you know, prove that. We'll get into that in the next lesson, but here's the thing. I need to give them some liberty. I need to give my wife some liberty. And being a chef, nobody had liberty. You follow my recipe to the T. No. To the T. You follow what I'm saying? And because it's my recipe. But when it's God's recipe, then I don't have to force. It's either force or faith. It's either faith or I'm forcing. There's a lot to say about that, but I just want to throw that out there as we move into the other one. And so I need to liberate. 2 Corinthians 3:17 said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. Number one, liberty why? To keep them. You want to keep them? You better liberate them. Give them power to go and to do. Jesus did it. Sent them out and let them do some stuff. He let them do the bread, feed. Jesus let them do things. We got to let them do it. Number two, to grow them, allow them opportunities to learn from other leaders. Some people won't let them learn, like your pastor bringing me in to teach you guys something. It's my way or the highway. You know, it's my way. It's my way to honor way. That's different. You got to let them learn and glean. Give them some books and things they can read. And people, and your pastor's pretty good about doing that. He's careful. He's watching the sheep. He don't want no wolf in sheep clothing coming in. I mean, you got to trust him. And I wanted to talk to you guys about being an armor bearer for your pastor because, you gotta learn to trust your pastor with your life. You gotta learn that. If not, you're not gonna allow him to influence you like God has set him up and positioned him to do. Now, that's a whole nother message on leadership, but that's something different. But so, letter E, his last name. When you liberate him, then you can lead them. They successfully lead others. When you listen to them, you learn what you need to know to lead that individual. You can't just open your files on leadership and say, okay, 29 years old, African-American, 29-year-old, Ukrainian, teenager, let me see what I got in my files. No, you got to know that individual. You got to listen to them so you can learn of them so you can know how to lead them. That's why it's difficult to read a lot of books on, parenting and marriage and everything because, we're all unique. We're all different. God made us that way. And dwell with them according to knowledge. Our wives, 1 Peter 3, 7 or 8. Okay? You got to dwell with them according to knowledge. So we got to know them. To know them, we got to listen to them. I found out through prayer, I've become so sensitive to my wife after 32 years. I've praying, the Holy Spirit comes in and allows me to be sensitive and to hear and understand things that I don't understand in a regular conversation. That's why me and my wife, we pray together every day. Normally in the morning and at night. Before I left this morning, we prayed together. I go to bed tonight, we'll pray on the phone together if I'm away. Okay? Because it keeps me sensitive to her. And it taught me to listen to her even in a regular conversation. Everybody's okay? It's just a little counsel. So I can successfully lead her. Okay? It goes with our children as well. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And I know them, and they follow me. There's something to be said about that. Romans 7. The very essence of all power to influence lies in getting others to participate. That's the biggest problem pastors have. We work with pastors, how to get people to participate. You know what it is? Influence. It's influence. Letter A, people will move into full participation when they can trust leadership and when they can touch leadership. And when leadership gives, this is key, testimonies of what God is doing. And I hope somehow you guys have established that in your church and in your home. Giving testimonies, any opportunity. We give testimony in Sunday school and this, before outreach, before we go out soul winning. We always giving testimony because that enlists people. That gets people to want to participate when they start hearing what God's doing. And number four, when leadership allows them to taste victory. What do you mean? Give them something they can do where they're going to succeed at. If I give somebody something to do and they just start, they're excited about ministry, they're just getting in, I want to do something for God, preacher, dad, let me do something, the wife want to do something, and we give them something so big they can't, they fail. It's okay, we'll give you something else to do. You didn't do that right. You couldn't get that together. Let me give you this one. Now you fell in this one. That's it. And they fell again. Give them something you know they're going to succeed at and build them up. See, we're about building up people. Everybody's okay with that? Amen. All right, okay. Now, so I wanted to lay that out there for you. It's a lot more to say, but that's enough so you can be caught up. And we'll get these in order later. We won't worry about that. And I want to go ahead and ask Ron again. Let Ron work out some of that mustard and cottage cheese dip. Pass those out. Thank you. Did I give both of you guys a copy? Did you get one? You didn't get one. Okay, Ron, get one of the guys at the sound booth a copy when you get a chance. All right, we're going to deal with gaining and maintaining momentum. This is why most churches fail. This is why most marriages fail. In this, we can find marriages, parenting, ministries failing. Failing tremendously because they never gain momentum or they never learn how to maintain momentum. This is critical. Very, very important. And so we want to get into that a little bit. And let's start with Exodus chapter 13. And again, guys, help. I don't want to do a lot of backdrop and setting up. Go back and read these stories and read the full context and you can get a lot out of it. I want to move right through this. You guys been going all day and doing a lot of things and setting up. And I just want to give you something to make you think and give you something to make you go back and study. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Read that whole chapter. And then you can really see more clear. Like some things you're not, Chris, you're like, I don't quite understand. Once you go back and read those and start at the beginning of the chapter and just read all the way through, and then you'll be able to kind of really pick it up a little bit better. Okay, that's good. All right, let's get in this, guys. Exodus chapter 13. Let me just say, this is Israel. This is the Hebrews coming out of Egypt. Okay, they've been in captivity 400 something years. Now they're coming out. Okay, God's bringing them out. Verse 17. Of Exodus 13. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. And this is key, guys, the next three words. God led them. I underline that. If I had in my Bible, I underline. God led them. They didn't lead themselves. God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. Although that was what? It was near. God could have built this thing in 5 years. God could have built it in 3 years. It was near. God could have did it. But he chose not to. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent. That means they're going to change direction when they see what? War. How about spiritual warfare? Preacher, you saw some spiritual warfare that some people would have saw they would have ran. All that spiritual warfare, everybody can't stay with that. They'll run. They see war. They'll turn. And they return to Egypt, which is a type of world. Okay. But God did what? Led the people. You guys need to underline that. They weren't leading themselves. God led the people about through the way. That's all that yielding and giving way and letting God lead through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed. That means they had their equipment and armor on, but they wasn't using it. Out of the land of Egypt. Now, you know what? They just came out of captivity for 400 years. What did they know about fighting? They didn't know nothing about no war. It's like somebody just getting saved and want to throw them into spiritual warfare. Let's get them discipled. Let's put them under somebody's wing and let them go out soul winning and just pray and watch for a little bit. We don't want them to turn and run. Okay? They're out there, but we don't want them to turn and run. Okay, number one, momentum is defined a quantity of motion. That motion is power in a moving part. So influence is power and momentum is power. If you don't have influence, you're not going to have any momentum. There's a connection. Now I'm going to say this before we get to Roman number two. It doesn't take much power to move from side to side like a ship. Now listen to this, guys. Listen to this. In a ship, when you're in the skin of a ship, the ship can be moving around, and you don't know if it's going forward or not. You just know it's a lot of movement. They call it dead in the water. So just because people are running around don't mean they have momentum. My point, you guys start taking leadership positions, you start doing things. Just because people are moving around, that don't mean there's momentum yet. Okay? You just need, we can't confuse the two. Here we go, number two. Momentum is established by its wide and deep base. Base. What I mean, let's look at Exodus 18, verse 17 through 18. And Moses' father-in-law, that's Jethro, said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou will surely wear away. The word wear means fade away. Let me tell you what Moses was doing right there, just a little setup. He was trying to supervise all the people, manage everything. This is a pastor trying to do everything. Or a pastor and his wife, and I see it all over America, doing everything. And it said, man, most of them, they'll wear out, go into anxiety, depression. Next thing you know, they're on heavy depression medicine. Pastor's out of ministry. Wife, lead a pastor. Man, I can't take this no more. Okay? And so that's why I travel around and do that load bearing, how you spread out the load. Like when you're building a building, you put those beams up, call those, you know, anyway. So he said, that's what was happening. And Jethro came to Moses and said, hey, look, man, that's not good. Jethro was a preacher, priest. He was bringing God's word. How do we know that? We'll see that. He said, both thou, listen, you're going to wear out, and the people that is with thee. You see that? You know who the people is? That's like, if your pastor is doing all the work, he's going to wear out, and you're going to wear out. If you go back, you'll see how the people wore out because they was waiting all the time for Moses from day to night. And the pastor didn't have time to minister to them and to care for them and to love them and train them and hit the things and give them what they need and study and pray. Because he was so busy, he wearing out, and they're wearing out because they're not getting the spiritual feeding and the spiritual care that they need. You follow? And so I want you to get the picture of this. So when you go back and look at this thing, you'll be able to kind of get in full context. So, say they're going to wear out with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Drop down into verse 21. Moreover, thou should provide out of all the people. That's like your pastor. He's not supposed to just say, okay, well, let me see. Maybe it's 25 of the people here I can choose from. No, all the people. You look out over all the people and find some able men. Not any man. Able men. You see, we have to make sure that we're able men. Men of influence. Men that's not high on themselves, high-minded. Just humble ourselves. Get humble and so we can be able men. He said, look out and you find those men to rule over the thousands and over the hundreds and over the 50s and over the 10s. So somebody here might be good with working with two people. Somebody might be here can work with one person. Somebody here might be good with five. But your pastor has to look out. Because see, you don't decide that in this text. God and the pastor working together and God letting the pastor see who can handle what. Now, I'm not saying God don't speak to you and tell you things. God didn't, I mean, you know, but I'm just saying God is just working with the pastor's thing. Now, watch it now. And he says, verse 22, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it should be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee. This is how I train people. If it's something you can deal with, because you know my heart. Remember Moses, God took his spirit and put it on the 70. You got my spirit. You know my heart. You know how God leads me in this ministry. So I'm making you an overseer of the nursery, of this bus route. You're an overseer of that for me and God. as God lead me and guide me. So it's like, we got to be careful that we don't go, well, I'm the leader now. Because I watch men when they become, I'm in charge. Pastor put sign somebody something. They're in charge. Next thing you know, man, it done got to their head. But if you look at it like, okay, I'm a overseer of something. I'm a steward. You see what I'm saying? And God's going to come back. I'm going to have to give account one day. Just me see the Christ. And so that's the mindset. That's the attitude. That's the spirit I want to have. And he said, but every small matter they shall judge, so that it be easier for thyself, Moses. And they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee. That settles it all right there. This is from God through Jethro. And so then thou shalt be able to endure, and all these people shall go to their place in what? How about that? Everybody gonna have some peace when we help the pastor. Now, this is not on your paper, but I saw this in Pastor Fisher's office once, and it was on something he had, and I saw it years ago, and I picked up on it, and I made a note of it in my mind, and I wrote it down. It says this: a leader who developed others, a leader, a person with influence that develop others as, watch it now, he adds. But a leader who develop leaders multiply. He multiplies. So I got influence. I don't just want to develop a person. I want to develop a leader. Because when I develop a leader, I just reproduce myself. Now we got multiplication getting ready to happen. But if not, then I just add it. Just think on that a little bit. I say it again. A leader who develop others, add. A leader who develop leaders, multiply. And so I'm into like training people to be leaders, taking people to that next level, helping them to be able to be an influence. You follow what I'm saying? Letter A, an institution success rests on its momentum, or if you would, continue advancing efforts. Number one, build the base. Remember we said the base? Build the base first so as to prevent, watch it, burnouts and dropouts, which can sometimes lead to fallouts. Amen. Now, what are you saying? Look up here, everybody. After you take your notes, you can look up here after you get your notes down. Take your time, do your notes. The base. You either going to build, and God builds a church, but you're only going to build people, and like you're going to build this church like this. Leverage, this is your base. That's the best you can do with this base. You might can do there, but be careful. But once you get like that, if you're trying to build something on that, your base not wide enough. Okay. And depending on the load, it better be deep. Mm-hmm. Don't, it's going to sink before you even tilt over. And people sink because there's not enough people getting in there on the base to spread the load out. That's the burnout. One guy trying to do everything, he burns out. Or he just drops out. Well, what happened to him? Where did he go? People start being burnt out, then they start falling out with each other. That's the fallout. You gotta spread it out. And in the military, when we found somebody that can do the job right, we kept going to that person. And sometimes we would just give that person too much because we knew we can go ahead about our business. They're going to get the job done. And they're not going to complain. but it affect them after a while and their families. You follow? And so we have to make sure that we spreading it out. Okay? And care for those leaders. Okay, now, that way we don't have those burnouts, dropouts, fallouts. Number two, the Lord does it through right people that have been trained the right way. This is part of training. You guys took time to come out. The pastor took time to set this up. This is training, man. This is training. We're going to talk tomorrow all day on some training on prayer, okay? But we got to get training so we can be the right person. Let me say this. Everybody's trying to do something for God, but very few are trying to be something for God. First of all, they don't even think about being. They only think about doing. But God's not asking people to do a whole bunch. He's asking us to be holy, be diligent, be content, be righteous, be gentle, be humble, be me. You get it? I can keep going for a long time. He wants us to be an instrument of righteousness, to be a vessel of holy, a vessel of honor, so he can take up that vessel, pour himself out. He can take up that instrument and use it. Stop trying to do too much and try to be so God can take you up and be. Just yield, be what you're supposed to be. So anyway, with that thought, so we can be what we're supposed to be, then God will take that person and do the right thing, the right way. So number one, how do we get there? People, we get that by people that are cross-trained. Way I train people, cross-train. You know the bus route. You know how we run the nursery or whatever. You know what we do for lockups. You know how the sound booth works. You might not be running the sound booth, but you know how it works. And the guy in the sound booth, he's not territorial because he understands. That gives him more liberty. If he's got an emergency, his wife is happy that he's able to go with her to take care of that situation. He can't do it without that other cross-trained person. Are you listening? There's a lot to say about that, but we can't get into all that. We don't have enough time. So cross-train. If you have any questions, listen, guys, ask me. We can sit down and talk about this. But cross-train is key. It keeps people from burning out, keeps people from dropping out, it keeps people from falling out. When I start ministries, churches, we train missionaries and I do most of the training of preachers, teaching homiletics and all that kind of stuff. And the one thing that God led me to do for every position that I place a person in, I ask them to find an assistant. But before you talk to them, bounce their name off of me. First, I want you to pray. And ask God to put somebody on your heart. And when they put that person on your heart, you come to me. Because I might know something confidential about that person that you don't know and don't need to know. And I want you to go and get in their hopes all up for something they can't do because it's just, you follow what I'm saying, guys? And what happens is this. They start to use their influence right away and don't even know and understand it. They have influence that I don't have. They can move some people I can't move as the pastor. You follow? There's a brother that can move a sister better than dad. But you just don't know that because you don't see it. Everybody's okay? Now, look, I got good spirit now. But I'm speaking with a little authority about this thing. I got passion on this thing because I know the effectiveness of it. And so, When you get everybody to start praying and God puts somebody in their heart and they bounce it off you and you say, go ahead, here's what I found out. I don't even have to put out flyers in that ministry. I'm telling you, I never have to put out a fire. One ministry I started for 6 years, in 6 years I never had to put out one fire with that chain of command. You follow what I'm saying? Because that person used their influence to go out and get somebody that they can work with and that they can influence. And they're taking my heart and my spirit, which came from Pastor Fisher, and they pointed out on that person. Now, Pastor Fisher's spirit and heart just went one level to me, the second level, third level, or second level to the person, then the third level. That's how you get your spirit to go through. That way, you can trust people carefully because you know they're going to handle things just like you we wanted handle. You know your kid's going to do it just the way you would do it. You can trust them with it. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, good. All right, it's a lot to say about all this stuff. We need to move through here. Okay, so we want to cross train. Number two, we want people that are carefully tested. I mean, be careful how you test them. You don't want to break them. You don't want to, you understand what I'm saying? You don't want them to fail. You don't want them to, so you're careful about how you kind of train them and test them. You know, like you go to the range. It's one thing to be in class talking about guns. Until you go out there and smell that gunpowder and feel that kick, you see what I'm saying? You see, it's not easy just to hit the target unless you really attended it. And you follow what I'm saying? And that's different. But you got to be careful how you train. You might want to give them the 22 first shot, not the 357. Come on, boy, be a man. No, don't get stupid out there and give them the 45. Give them a 9mm first. Everybody's all right with that? Have a little fun with it, but just keeping it real. Because you got to be careful how you test a person, okay? And then number three, people that are compassionately touched. People got to be touched, man. We got to touch people. We got to let people touch us. And that's a hard thing for people that's been through some of the things I went through, being molested, you know, by a man and everything. And, you know, it's hard to let men close after that. You follow? You know, I remember when I went to through things where people hug a lot and everything, and the men hug, and I ain't into the hugging thing. You know what I'm saying? Because of that. And you don't know what's going on with a person, so you got to know them just so you know how to be compassionate to them. You follow? Now I don't have a problem with that. Now God done healed me, you know, and got me through that. But I'm saying that's why I can talk about it, and I'm not ashamed to be transparent here about it. But the fact of the matter is, you got to know the person. And there's some people that was like I was that, you know, you don't like touching people. You know, you're not that kind of leader because you got that. There again, there's that past. That's really not past. It's present. And the walls are up. And it keeping you from being effective or having influence. You follow what I'm saying? So we got to go deal with that thing. We got to get that thing fixed, whatever it is. Okay. All right, so momentum, number three, starts with leadership. Leadership that is sure. A, sure of their calling. That's a divine sermon. Sermons. Jesus was called to serve others and to sacrifice self for others. The Apostle Peter, under divine inspiration, said, God, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. Nehemiah was sure it was God when he went into the king, when he went up on that wall. That's why he wasn't going to leave that wall. That's why he wasn't go down. He wasn't going to let the work cease because he was sure. Ruth was sure about that thing. That's why it didn't matter if her sister turned back. She wasn't turning back because she was sure of her calling. It's important. There's a lot to say about that, but sure. Let her be sure of their commitment. You got to be committed. The first thing I do when I start a ministry, the first thing when I do when we start churches and people want to go help churches and the pastor or somebody said they called a ministry, one of the first thing after the calling is this. I want to know that they're committed. I throw up a ground rule quick just to see commitment. Started ministry, we get this many people. Yeah, pastor, we in there with you. Come on, let's go start this thing. All these people. Yeah, okay, well, praise the Lord. Okay, we meet next week, next Saturday. I lay a ground rule out there that I done prayed about. God give me liberty to put out there. This mount here turns to that. But you know what? That is there. And it is what it is. And that is what you build off. And you only build as much as you can build off of that, which means you're building like this. You don't take that, try to build like that, because you got this big vision. Follow? Okay. So, calling, sure of his calling, sure of the commitment. Jesus was committed, and we mentioned that. So was Moses. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was committed. Go all the way in that fire furnace. I think Daniel was committed. Going in there. There's a whole bunch of them was very, very committed. Apostle Paul said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let us see. Sure of their cause. Remember David? Is there not a cause? Remember John the Baptist? I must. So he must increase. I must decrease. You got to be sure of your calling. Remember Esther? If I perish, I perish. So we want them sure of their cause, but we want them to be sure of the cause. You understand the cause of why we're doing what we're doing. You understand why we're going out soul winning. I mean, we really want to see people saved. We don't want people going to hell. And we want people to get in church. Hey, you go out just because people don't get saved that day. You don't know. You don't know how many people took that track and read it. And you come back and say, well, you know, we went out there. You know, nobody did anything. You know, we just hung out there. We got out. You know how many people get saved from tracks? We give those testimonies of tracks. And that changed people's attitude about putting a track in somebody's hand. I got a guy one time, we was doing an all-night prayer meeting. And I went to this all-night prayer meeting, and I would slide out around 3 o'clock, all of them. We stayed at 6, not me, 3 o'clock. I'm like, okay, see y'all later, man. But this guy was giving a testimony how he was on an aircraft carrier. And a guy came up to him and gave him a track, didn't say nothing. And he demonstrated the guy was shaking and put the track in his hand, turned left. The next time he saw the guy, he was coming back off of Westpac Navy. They were coming back. And they stopped in Hawaii and he saw the guy that gave him the track. 2 o'clock in the morning. He thought, another one of them Christians. 2 o'clock in the morning, what are they doing out here? And he's kind of been drinking, you know, the one that's saying all this. And he goes up to the guy to show him off. 2 o'clock, he's supposed to be a Christian. And the guy was out with a pastor he knew there. And they was taking pictures for a website of how the sunset, something in Hawaii, whatever goes on. And the guy got under conviction. The one that had the track given to him when they was heading over. Now he's on the way back 4 months later. Track still in his locker in the birthing area. He get under conviction. He goes back to the ship. He pulls the track out of the locker and he gets saved. Amen. Then he started going around the ship. Jesus is real. Around the deck. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus. I mean, the guy got saved. This guy got it. You see what I'm saying? So you never know what a track might do. Pastor Fisher, the first track he got, you know what he did with it? He was out there with street preaching and threw it down at the feet. Second track, same thing. Third track came from a little kid out street preaching, just passing out the track. We always take kids soul winning. We don't put them in the nursery. Put them on our backpacks, we take the kids. We let them see what we train them in the way to go. But the thing is this. That kid gave him, he took it from that kid, kept it, put it in his locker. He was a Marine officer down in camp. It was in Camp Lejeune. It was, no, it wasn't Pendleton. He was in Paris Island. And so what happened, a gunny sergeant, asked him, he had to go to the hospital because he had to go because something happened to one of their men. He had to go to the hospital. The gunny asked him to go with him, and they went together. And the gunny was reading the Bible to himself in there. The pastor said, Fisher went, well, why are you reading that? Why are you, you know, because people giving them things and everything. And the guy said, oh, I go to this church. And he pulled out the same track that little kid gave him.
He said, I go to this church. Pastor like, man, what's up with these people? What's going on? I got to go down there and find out what's going on. So he goes down there. He didn't get saved, but he went back to his room, pulled that track out, and got saved. Amen. Pastor Fish. You don't see, that's why you got to get testimonies. Man, that guy at that all-night prayer meeting, man, that fired me up. I was in there to the end from then on. That changed me. Testimonies are powerful. We got to tell people what God is doing. But anyway, I know I'm sorry. I didn't spoil it.
It's fun.
Yeah. So Roman number four. Momentum is an uphill journey. It's not a downhill coast. Doesn't take much power to go downstream, does it? I keep moving for sake of time. Number five, momentum is maintained when leaders make adjustments. That means it's a reducing to make fit or conformable. Adjustments. B, model adaptability. That means flexible. C, maintain accurate balance. Now, I'm just going to say something about these so we can move on. Adjustments is this. I train people to be adjusted and adaptable. I create situations and circumstances that happen just so I can train them to be adjustable and adaptable. Just like in the military, you have drills, right? So I go in and get a leader and ask the leader to come with me. I need to talk with them in the office so their assistant that they went and got can step it up, not even knowing what's going on. Then I do that a couple of times. My intention is to move that leader into something else without that assistant thinking it's too big for him. But thinking it's too big, but knowing that maybe God can help them do this thing now. That leader already told me he's ready. The women, she's ready. You follow? And so now I go to that person and say, hey, look, we need you to do this thing. Oh, no, man, I can't. No way, preacher. That's good. I like that. I can't do it. I like that, Moses. I like that. I like that. But remember when? And you remember when the other week? And you remember when God used you? And you did. You can do this. It's going to be all right. God's going to help you. And they do it. Now, here's what you need to do. Find you an assistant. Somebody within the group that you already been working with, you're familiar with. I keep that going. That's where it keeps building. The base keep getting broader and deeper. You can build off. And here's the thing. You can build people off of people. When you got people that can care for themselves first, then they can care for others. And you training them to care for themselves. And so they're there to care for everybody that come through that church door, everybody that come into that ministry. You see, and it's not just you. Follow? All right. So that's why you want them to be able to be adjustable and adaptable. That means I got to be willing to let go to grow or let go so somebody else can grow. And I train people to be able to let a position go. That's why I can get that guy to leave and go somewhere else and not be territorial. Like, hey, you know, this is my people. This is my thing. No, it's not. That's not it. You follow what I'm saying? If not, then that other person never grows to their full potential. And the other assistant he's going to go get that don't even know they're getting ready to be an assistant never comes up. Y'all get that? All right, okay. And so that's why all that's there. And there's a lot to say about everything. I'm going to let y'all out and make sure we get all the blanks. And number six, momentum steadily increases when there is an enthusiasm and energy. Y'all see that? Letter C, an excitement. And letter D, an excellent spirit. Okay? And so you can go back and read that. Sake of time, I don't want to keep y'all too much more. You go back and read those. Did I already do that, Pastor? Y'all can go back and read that. I want to let them. Am I all right? Okay. And you go back and read these, okay? And you'll see what they did. God made them little. He knocked them down to 300.
so they wouldn't be big in their own sight, and they'll give him the glory and the testimony go all out to everybody what God did. That's why it went before Israel when they was going through the wilderness and going through all them Ikes and Jericho. They already heard about him. They heard about their God, what the God can do, man. You see, and through those things. So there's an energy there. And that word energy means an internal power put in action. That's that yielding, so he that is exceedingly abundantly above us can do what he can do. We get out of his way. And that excellent spirit, that excitement means a state of being roused into action. And when you're giving testimonies, it gets exciting. It works in many different ways. We can talk about that later. Okay, and then the excellent spirit, that person have a can do, thank you, how do you do spirit? You follow what I'm saying? That's so important. It's hard to do to have that kind of spirit when you're burnt out. Or you overload it. All right, that's why it got to be a balance there. Number 7, momentum builders. Here's some momentum builders. Am I on the right one? 7, yeah. Builders that successful leaders possess. A successful leader stay focused. Stay focused. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about, you know, you don't entangle yourself with the affairs of the world, soldier of the Lord, you know, a soldier. You go when a soldier got called to duty. I mean, you get your orders, man. You got to stay focused. You know, you can't be worried about what's going on back home. You understand? It's just saying you got to be focused. That means intense. Focus means the central point of concentration. That's the definition. It's the central point of concentration. I mean, you got to be focused for the God, for ministry, for what you're doing. Developing self and others. And dedicating self to others. Let it be. Successful leaders stay on fire. That's that passion. Being passionate and positive. Passionate and positive. It's one thing to be on fire, but if you're negative and on fire, those sparks catch something also. The sparks gonna fly when it's passion. But hopefully it's some positive sparks. Or more positive than negative, you know what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying for me, too, you know, I got to, you know, discipline myself to be positive, you know, not, you know, what's that one? Not pessimistic all the time, you know, but optimistic. All right. Now, let us see. Successful leaders stay in the fight. They participate. Planning, involving, in outreach, prayer, fellowships, and events. And then number 8, the very essence of momentum, just like influence, the essence of momentum lies in getting others to participate. Man, how do I get others to participate? Well, I might can't do it, but if somebody else with me has the influence to do it, fine. I use that influence to get those people enlisted or to get those people engaged into something that's going to help them. I want them to have a good judgment seat of Christ. I'm accountable for that. I'm responsible for that. I got to give an account about that. You know, giving them the opportunity to have a good judgment seat of Christ. So, first bullet, most people overestimate the importance of events and underestimate the power of processes. Processes. Let me say this. People are processes, not events. You know, a process is like a continuation or some series of changes. You know, it's something that's continuous. It's not just an event. Okay, the event's over, that's it. No, people are processes. We got to look at it that way. Jesus made the disciples a part of something bigger than themselves. Don't be afraid to make somebody a part of something bigger than them. Just don't give them something to do that's bigger than them. You follow what I'm saying? It's going to knock them out. Letter A, enlist them into an event for their inspiration and engage them into a process for their improvement. For them to improve, they got to be continuing. They got to be abiding in something. Let me say this for definition. A process, it's not on your paper, is defined a systematic series of actions. Systematic series of action
a continuous action, operation, or changes. Continuous changes, continuous actions, continuous operation. 1, 2, 3, and 4, we close. Events, and it's a lot. I got a whole message on processes versus events. And we need to use events in our church to get people, number one, encouraged to make decisions. Events encourage decisions, while processes encourage development. We want people to develop. But before they can develop, they got to make a decision. They want to grow. They want to develop. Follow what I'm saying? And it ties in. Number two, we're almost finished, guys. You done good. Events motivate while processes mature. When you got an event coming up, people are like, oh, man, yeah, it's the event coming, bowling event or whatever. But you're only using it as part of a process. Help somebody mature, help somebody, you know, grow, develop more. You can give people opportunity to get involved and do something. Hey, come on down, help us with this and help us that. We need some help with setup. You want them to, the event allows you to enlist, allows you to get people in and spend time with people and rub elbow with them and build relationships, okay? So that you can make them a process, part of a process. Okay, so number three, events challenge people while processes change people. Four, events are easy. Really, they are. Here today and gone tomorrow. I can't wait to get this thing over with so I can get on with life. All right, but so events are easy while processes are difficult. That's why some people can't make it in the ministry. It's a process. They think it's an event. It's just going to go down there. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. The number's going to be here and this and that. No, it's not an event. You got to be set in somebody's mind that this, look, your Christianity is a process. You never going to make, you, it's just something every day you get to work on as a Christian. You get to mature through every church service, every message, every prayer meeting is part of you growing. It's part of the process. And we got to put that in people's mind. They got to start thinking process. I'm a process. This is a process. Now, closing with these two bullets. You don't have them. If you want lasting power or momentum, then rely on a process. Because the process keeps you going in a steady pace. Keeps you steady. Make your followers a part of something bigger than themselves so they can see God do some big, big things. Got to be big to them. Our children need to see that. And most wives that I work with, and I do a whole bunch of counseling at Lighthouse, is trust is a big problem. Most time is trust. All of it is communication. And I'm going to talk to you guys about effective communication because that's a big deal. Because since we don't know how to properly communicate effectively, we don't even communicate with God. We're talking to God and not with God. And when we learn to talk with God, then we can learn how to talk with our children, with our family, with the people that's following us, and we can be a better influence. Is that all right, Tim? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ again. We thank you for Open Door Baptist Church, Bible Church, a Bible church, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for Pastor, and thank you for this wonderful church, the members, all the leaders of this church. And I pray, Lord, you help us to be godly men. And you help this church, Lord. Maybe you can use, you know, Lord, I just want to be used some kind of way to be a help to these men. And maybe this can be just a little pivotal point of time in their lives. And will they be willing to go to the next level in leadership or in management and just be wanting to get involved and participate and want to be a good influence on the job or in the community or in the ministry or in their home?
times, and that you'll take these tools and these little lessons that we're taught, and you use it to help these men and help me, Lord. Keep me disciplined in these areas as well. We'll be careful to give you all the credit, honor, and glory for it. We thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys.